We're believing for signs and wonders and miracles for our nation. Because there's a need for signs and wonders and miracles for our nation. And we know that there are angels on the job. Multiples of them. And we also know that you have a plan to set the kingdom before our eyes and to allow us to be subservient to that kingdom. In Jesus' name. And that's what came in this morning because of the leadership meeting also took place yesterday morning at Christ-like Fellowship. And we had a wonderful time waiting upon him and then receiving his instructions and then going forward in obedience. And I'd like you to go to Matthew chapter 6 with me this morning because that's where he took me. So I want you to come with me in Matthew 6. 33. Matthew 6, 33. A lot of times, you know, we cannot comprehend why God presses us to go to a certain place in his word until we really realize the fullness of what he's trying to say to us. I'm still in charge. If you focus on me, I'm still in charge of my children, my adults, and even my elderly. It says, but seek first the kingdom, and I stress the word, his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. 33. Matthew 6, 33. Now, you know, we sang the song, seek ye first the kingdom, and you can sing it till the cows come home and not be changed. But if you realize the intensity of that statement, you can truly begin to understand that the king of a nation has a responsibility to all of his subjects. Yes or no? If the king is responsible for the babies, the young adults, the middle-aged, and the elderly, does that leave anybody out? Does that include you? Okay. Now, recall that we prayed a short little prayer earlier today as I pressed you to put your hand on your heart and make you and I realize that we are eternal beings living in the earth. And we are. And you know, realizing the reality that we are here for a season sometimes is a little scary. And if we're so focused on the immediate problem, it becomes like a big mushroom in front of us and it blocks our view. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. The intensity of the problem. The biggest problem can be a health problem. It can be a financial problem. It can be a relational problem. And it's so big. And you lose sight of the real purpose of your life. I believe a lot of times we have people in our nation who are so focused on getting their problem solved that they vote in order to grab what they can get from Uncle Sam. And they're not focused on the Most High God. They're not focused on the King, Jesus Christ. And I was reminding the people yesterday, and Gail can verify this, because she read the book. During the revolutionary days against the King of England, there was a cry in New England. There was only one cry that was common. We have no king but Jesus. We have no king but Jesus. Which is more powerful, a king or a president? Everybody agree that a king is more powerful than a president? Thank you. Why? Because he rules. And I would like to share with you a moment of yesterday's testimony. One person got up and said, remember, even when Nebuchadnezzar, and that's in Daniel, if you want to check it out, Nebuchadnezzar was the greatest king in all the earth, God did not fall off his throne. Did he? Even when the king got very bold and pretty proud, he decided that he was going to make a statue of himself, all gold, of course. And then he was going to get everybody to bow before it as a decree in the land. And three little Hebrew children said, we ain't bowing. Three kids. I heard you say the teenagers got excited. I heard you say the teenagers were loud. Praise God they were loud. They had guts. Us older fellows, you know, except for maybe a big mouth like me, kind of quiet down. We're too old now to shout. Yes or no? Not too old to shout. Look at your neighbor. Say, get happy. Shout for Jesus. He's the only king that you need. Man, you understand where I'm coming from. Because you see, there was a day afterwards when Nebuchadnezzar was confronted by Daniel. Because he had a dream. And in order for God to pull him down off his high horse, did you ever get anybody meet anybody with a high horse? Well, I have too, and probably rode one once in a while, more than I care to talk about. Don't get funny back there. Oh, is that it? Okay. But the bottom line is, God knows how to pull you and me off of that high horse. I was in good company because St. Paul rode a horse too. Okay? In case you forgot, Moses was riding his horse when he wanted to deliver all of the Israelites before the appointed day. Yes? Okay. So what am I saying? The dream was intense. Daniel interpreted the dream. And he told him, unless you change your way and humble yourself before God, you literally, in plain English, will go insane. And he did. Is it important that the king humble himself before the Most High God? Yes! And it took 7 years for this king to wake up. 7 years. And when he did wake up, God was still in the control room, had not fallen off his throne. So no matter what the election will bring results, I can guarantee you, God will not fall off his throne. God will not fall off his throne. Now, would I prefer this one or that one? I think that there are some things that most of us already have seen in our hearts that there are some that are pro-life and some that are pro-death. And that doesn't give you a direction on how to vote. But ask the Holy Ghost what to do. Declare, am I really following the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Because you see, the righteousness of our God says, let the babies live. Just maybe that little baby that this mother is carrying would be the next Moses or the next Jesus or the next Savior from Mount Zion. And if you don't understand that, look it up. I want to go back now. Verse 1. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, but be seen by them. If you do, you will have no rewards from your Father in heaven. So those that are proud about, oh, I did this for God and I did that for God, you better double check your standards. If you're boasting on God, that's one thing. But if you're boasting on what you did for Him, that's something different. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you do things in secret, it's an awesome thing because you're not going to be boasting on what you did for God or what you did for your neighbor. Verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Isn't that cool? My Father knows what I need before I even ask Him. Which Father? My Heavenly Father. My earthly father may have an attitude problem. Yes or no? Sometimes my earthly father could make big problems for me. But my Heavenly Father keeps a record, and He doesn't forget. Amen? Verse 7. When you pray, do not keep on babbling. Why? If you need to repeat it, sometimes you do need to repeat it. That's not babbling. That's recognizing you're trying to drive the point home. Okay? So let that be a reality. Verse 9. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come in the United States of America. Your will be done in Massachusetts. On this earth, as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Boy, we've got some debts to be forgiven, don't we? Especially after the amount of borrowing that's been going on. But now, if you remember, the vision says it can be what? Lifted off the page. God knows how to take care of it. If you get so focused on the debt that we've created, you're going to have a problem. Your focus should be on the King. Amen? Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. In other words, you set the pattern. You set the way of doing it. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Why the evil one? We need to be delivered? Absolutely. The enemy is a roaring, as a roaring lion is trying to what? Devour us. Excuse me. Why pray to be delivered from that? Because it's no fun to go through the darkness without the reality of God's grace and mercy. Amen? Okay. Verse 14. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Oh, you mean it's conditional? Absolutely. Absolutely it's conditional. And it says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. That's pretty intense. You set the pattern. You set the pace. You want freedom from hurts and pain? Somebody has injured you? Set them free. Jesus gave you the pattern. When he was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they've done. Don't hold this sin against them. Why? Because he didn't want that whole burden on him. And that's an intense pattern. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your heads and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heavens, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you don't have an underline on that little corner, there's something wrong. If my heart is so concerned about my wallet or my bank account, what's going to happen to me? When the economy is up, I've got a smile on. When the economy is down, I've got a frown on. What am I going to be? An example to whom? See, think about where your heart is. Think about your focus. And those who have needs, I can tell you this, if you begin to rejoice and give thanks that your God is supplying all your needs according to His riches and glory, the whole heaviness routine cannot produce fruit. Okay? Because the words of your mouth are going to change your focus. The words of my mouth will change my... Yeah. So, if you declare God's promise that He's going to supply your need, what's going to happen? You're going to be changed. That's where prayer will effectively change you as you repeat the words of God and His promises. Excuse me. Now, 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve both God and money. So, again, see, God is saying, if you're focused on your lack, that's darkness. If you're focused on the one who is the king, who's supplying you with riches according to his, what he's got in his bank account, the king is fine. The king doesn't get broke. Now, verse 25, it says in my NIV Bible, do not worry. How many have ever had a problem with worry? Thank you. Then you're all human, aren't you? Okay. But the spirit man is not human. Remember earlier we prayed that we would live our lives inside out? My spirit man says what? Everything's going to work out for good. I don't know how come this big test has come my way, but God has a plan to turn it into good. Amen? Romans 8:28. I don't know how, I don't know when, but God's going to do it. Excuse me. 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? Aha! Are you not much more valuable than they? who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? I can remember worrying day in and day out, trying to figure out how I'm going to make ends meet without borrowing. And boy, I'll tell you, it was wonderful the day I went to the bank and borrowed that money and got rid of the bills for a little while until the new bill came in. How many have ever gone and done a gathering of all their little loans and got a bigger loan to get rid of the little loans? What did you solve? Ah! All right. What am I saying to you? God's Word can change you and can change your decisions if you really get serious with Him. Amen? 28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how they little lilies of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. That's the trigger I want you to look at. O you of little faith. See, the spirit man has faith. He can believe for a victory. The brain has a problem because it looks at all of the details. St. Paul tells us over and over, you can't please God without faith. Yes? Without faith, you can't please Him. So you need to have faith. So He's going to allow things to happen to you so that you can stretch yourself a little bit and believe for the impossible. Mark 11:24 says, believing you have received, it will be done unto you. And it takes faith to do that. So verse 31 says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Excuse me. Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So first the kingdom, and then His righteousness is second, and the things of the earth that you need will be taken care of by Him. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to close your Bible. I want you to put it down. I want you to stand. I want you to come to the front, and we're going to ask God to have His way with every single American on Tuesday. You see, we're going to be here Tuesday, but we need to ask God for His grace before we get to Tuesday. Amen? Goodbye. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to repeat after me, Lord Jesus. You started an awesome work in our nation. Many churches are praying. They're not standing on street corners. They're in their little room. And we are now in our little room praying that God will have His way. That the King of Kings is sitting on the throne. And we're asking Him to release angels. Ministering spirits. To minister. To those who are inheriting salvation. That's mine and my household. And all my relatives. Known or unknown. God, You've got a plan. Bring salvation into our nation. We declare it now. Those angels are on the job. And the election is in Your heart, Lord.
Because you'll change the hearts that need to be changed.
So that your will,
your perfect will
will be accomplished.
And I refuse to worry.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
Amen.
And amen.
Yeah.